thank you for coming to our church. If you're new to us, please be aware that we serve tea and coffee after the service in the Mayo Hall. Just follow the crowd, and you're welcome to that. There aren't many notices this morning, just that we please continue to remember Soo Ho Cho, who is in the detention centre at Heathrow. The biggest notice is that we've got the church weekend next weekend. Yay, it's going to be great fun. Please come. There's still time for you to sign up, but even if you don't sign up, you know, it might be the loaves and fishes. We'll have to make the food go a bit further, but you know, that'll be okay. Just to say that I'm running a flower arranging teaching session on a Saturday afternoon, so hopefully that might get a few of you interested. You don't have to come for the whole weekend. You could just come for a couple of days or just a day. That will be fine. And there are programs at the back of the church, so please take one. The last thing I'm going to say is that if anybody would like to make me a dessert for the next Sunday lunch, I would be very grateful, but not trifle. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Let us be listening to what the Lord God is saying. God promises peace to us, his own people. Surely, God is ready to save those who honor God. We join together to sing, All Creatures of Our God and King, and we're only singing four verses of this. shelter down, grab yourself a Bible, which could well be underneath the chairs around about you. Up you get. Get yourself a Bible, and we're at Psalm 85, verses 8 to 13, and it's projected in... Oh, you've done it in both. Whoa, just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We've moved on. The projectionist is three steps ahead of me. We've got it in English and Korean. Oh, Denise, honestly. Sheesh. Right, come on, let's... Right, if you can read Korean, read it in Korean. And if you're not Korean, I'll be really impressed. But for the rest of us, we'll read it in English. I am listening to what the Lord God is saying. God promises peace to us, God's own people, if we do not go back to our foolish ways. Surely God is ready to save those who honor God, and God's saving presence will remain in our land. Love and faithfulness will meet, righteousness and peace will embrace. Human loyalty will reach up from the earth, and God's righteousness will look down from heaven. The Lord will make us prosperous, and our land will produce rich harvests. Righteousness will go before the Lord and prepare a path for God. Have a seat. And in the context of the psalmist and the long continuum through thousands of years of the prayers of God's people, let us pray. Lord God of all, when we actually stop and allow ourselves the time and space to meet with you, we are blown away by the knowledge that before the creation of the world, you had a plan for us. And even now, you are working out that plan through us gathered here. We come humbly before you, not puffed up with our own achievements or strength, forgive us, Lord, for the times that we don't appreciate how truly amazing it is that you, our God, have chosen each one of us. For the times when we neglect ourselves, when we are disrespectful about ourselves, when we diminish our abilities, forgive us. For the times when we are disrespectful of others, neglectful of them as a child of God, when we lump people together and say, they think that and they do that, forgetting your power and your love. Here are words that we may trust, words that are worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We are forgiven for his sake. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come,
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come on, let's go. Daniel. Katia. Oh, what a well-behaved young girl. See that felt tip pen before she... Oh, very good. Thank you very much. Right, I'm over here.
It's on? It's on. Good morning. I've got some things to show you this morning. The first... I can find it. It's my birth certificate. And I'm not going to show too many people my birth certificate, because I don't want everyone to know how old I am. But the important thing about my birth certificate today that I want to point out is on the top line, it says my name. Can you read what my name is? Sally, what else? Anne, that's my middle name. Butler, Sally Ann Butler. That tells you who I am, okay? Put that there. Show you something else. This is my old passport. Okay? Do you want to see the photo? This one's quite unusual because my photo actually looks like me, which doesn't always happen in a passport, let's be honest. Do you think that looks like me? I think it looks like me. And when I go through customs or passport control at the airport, I flash that at them and they say, oh, for goodness sake, leave the country as quickly as possible. That's what I show if I want to go to another country on my holidays. So I've got my birth certificate, my passport. What's that? A box. It's a very important box, Dahi. What goes in the box normally, do you think? Nothing today, but that's my lunch box. It's a very important box. It's where I keep all my chocolate. No, I don't really. My sandwiches, salad. Yeah. Now, this attractive item is my old school tie. Gorgeous, isn't it? No, that's a no look. That's my school tie. Okay? And last but not least, oh, that's my pillow. It's my lovely pillow that I'm going to make friends with later on this evening, tonight. And I'm going to go like that. Now, why have I shown you all these things? We're going to talk about choices today. Now, when you're little, your parents make a lot of choices for you, okay, don't they? They choose your name. I had no say in what I was called when I was a baby. My parents chose my name. So your parents choose your name, and they choose where you go on holiday. With us, it was usually Wales or Norfolk, okay? I had no choice. That's where my parents... No, I didn't need my passport for Wales, but it's where you choose to go on holiday. Your parents choose, okay? My parents decided where I was going to go to school. My mum chose what I was going to have for my lunch and for my dinner. And when I was little, my mum and dad decided when it was time to go to bed, which was not always a popular decision, but I had no choice. And they made those choices for me because they loved me and they wanted the best for me. And then when I got older, I started making my own choices. Do you think God makes choices? I think God makes choices. Yeah, he does, doesn't he? What I want you to do, what I want everyone in the congregation to do now, is make a C shape on your forehead, the letter C. Can you make the letter C on your forehead? And C stands for chosen, because you are chosen by God to be his children. All of us, each and every single one of us, has been chosen by God because he, like a good parent, loves us and he knows what's best for us. And we're going to carry on thinking about choices when we go into the hall in a minute. But first we're going to sing Who Put the Colours in the Rainbow? And we're going to shake some musical instruments. Okay?
So may God bless us in our time, that we would learn more of God's choice of us and more of God's love. Lord, we pray. Amen. See you later, gang. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. At the moment, we're in a bit of a series looking at the letters of Paul. We're going to hear from Ephesians and then a very strange reading from Mark. This is about God's choice of us. We are not left to fathom this out on our own. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brenda Parkins will read this passage to us.
This reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Spiritual blessing in Christ. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before him. Because of his love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, he would make us his sons and daughters. This was his pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift he gave us in his dear Son, for by the blood of Christ we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure. In all his wisdom and insight, God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. All things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose, based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Let us then, who were the first to hope in Christ, praise God's glory. And you also became God's people when you heard the true message, the good news that brought your salvation. You believe in Christ, and God put his stamp of ownership on you by giving you the Holy Spirit he had promised. The Spirit is the guarantee that we shall receive what God has promised his people, and this assures us that God will give complete freedom to those who are his. Let us praise his glory.
Thank you. So if God chooses and if we respond to that calling, those who are faithful in living and speaking for God are at risk of coming to a sticky end. And Barbara Fielding will read this passage to us.
The reading is from Mark chapter 6, the death of John the Baptist. Now King Herod heard all about this because Jesus' reputation had spread everywhere. Some people were saying, John the Baptist has come back to life. This is why he has this power to perform miracles. Others, however, said, he is Elijah. Others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. When Herod heard it, he said, he's John the Baptist. I had his head cut off, but he has come back to life. Herod himself had ordered John's arrest and had him chained and put in prison. Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. John the Baptist kept telling Herod, it isn't right for you to be married to your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man, and so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday when he gave a feast for all the chief government officials, the military commanders, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. So the king said to the girl, what would you like to have? I will give you anything you want. With many vows, he said to her, I will swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom. So the girl went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, "I want you to give me, here and now, the head of John the Baptist on a dish. This made the king very sad, but he could not refuse her because of the vows he had made in front of his guests. So he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. The guard left, went to the prison, and cut John's head off. Then he brought it on a dish and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and took his body away and buried it." Amen.
Amen. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So Paul decides that he's going to paint a picture of the relationship between God and human beings and start with a blank canvas. And onto this massive canvas, he paints the creation and then adds humanity. Human beings, the object of God's love and longing. All of us. And the picture starts with creation, and then in the center of this picture is the cross as a sign of love and as a sign of inclusion. No race is outside, and all have a place in God. Or, imagine the scene. The people are gathered in a group, and two leaders come forward, and they go through the process of picking teams. And people are chosen on a number of criteria. Skill, of course, are you a fast runner, are you good with the ball, whatever. But other factors are also in play. Who likes who? Who's easy to get on with? Who is totally uncool? And then there is the indignity of being the last one chosen. But what about another group of people? And someone comes forward and, looking people in the eye, says, "I want you on my team. I 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 want you on my team." And on and on and on. Not just the people that other people would think of as valuable or entertaining or good to be seen with. The losers are picked too. All get picked. We all get picked. It is good news. There's room for everybody. But for some, that's a problem. If you are one of those sorts of people who wants to hang out with the funky, cool kids, then this is actually a rubbish system. Because you're going to find yourself on the same team as people who are old, people who can't speak English, people who are ugly, people who are disabled, people who are poor, people who are socially awkward, people who don't know how to present themselves. Really? Do I have to hang around with such a crowd as that? Really? Man, church is tough. Or if you were a person who once upon a time was used to being picked first in the old system, then the new idea that God, of the way that God picks, might be a real challenge. Who wouldn't want me on their team? Maybe that is how the world sees it. Maybe it is what you're used to, but brother and sister, I would say to you, one day life will step up and bite you. And in the system of God's system, there is space. In the old system, you would have ended up as a reject. God chooses us before the world began to be God's children. Now, the next thing that happens is often people say, ah, yes, but that means that God did not choose some people to be God's children. Why? Not why did God choose, but why do we have to say for some to be in, some to be out? Why do we need that? Why is that a driver for us? For me to be in, you have to be out. Is it not possible that we could all be in? We all have different views. That's what it looks like. So for me, it feels increasingly important to affirm that for me to be right, you do not have to be wrong. You might be, but I'm prepared to admit I might be wrong. And in the world of God, it's much, much more likely that rather than right and wrong, it is that the truth that I am affirming loudly and forcibly is actually a part of the truth. And if we are in the world of God, then it is possible, if God is God with this infinite loving heart, then it is possible for everyone to be a loved, chosen, precious child of God. And I would say, it is a deep down childish desire to be a favorite child. In your family, do you know who the favorite child is? Among you and your siblings, do you know which one was the favorite? I want to tell you, in most families they do. That strange thing that for me to be valued, I have to denigrate another. It's a very odd thing, isn't it, when you think about it? It's not needed. It doesn't come from a place of love. It doesn't come from a place of love. So the message from the passage from the Ephesians is this. Once you thought you were outside, once you Gentiles thought you were excluded, but actually you are inside. And indeed, you have been inside since the beginning. And you are not an add-on. It was always in the plan that you Gentiles would be included. So we live in a society where choice and choosing are, like tolerance, part of the pillars of who we are. And ourselves as consumers and customers and having choice is absolutely essential. It's one of the markers. And it is about, if it's right for me, then it's right. And I can find it, I can buy it, I can hunt it out, and then I can get it. But we need to know and we need to remember that choice is not always positive. So the young woman dances and she makes her choice. And John the Baptist has also made his choice. He has chosen to keep on speaking out. Herod, we read, finds him quite intriguing. Herodias finds him very irritating, and when she has the chance, she makes her choice. And her choice is that he will be slaughtered. Herod could have challenged the choice, but he did not. There are times when the mature thing is to admit that you have made a wrong choice and sort it out. Your poor choice of words was not helpful. You did something and now you need to do something about it. Your career choice doesn't fit you anymore. Where you are living is not right for your physical condition or your social circumstance. Your work schedule needs a look at. Sometimes the choices that we've made, we need to stop, reflect, and change. But all of this is the profound working out of one choice, which is that God chose us. And it's not a person who doesn't know us who chose us. It's not the person who sees our bright, happy, smiley Sunday face who chose us. It is God who knows us completely, knows the worst that we do, but the worst that we think, and still loves us, and still chooses us, and still God wants us on God's team. And that, brothers and sisters, if you can allow it, if you can allow that truth to percolate through your ears, into your head, into your heart, into the whole of yourself, is a complete game changer for the way that you view yourself. Would a person that God chooses behave like that, whatever it is? Say like that, judge like that, be addicted to that, and not do something about it. Each of us, a person that God chooses. So there's no need to boast. There's no need to draw attention to ourselves. We are valued because of who we are. There's no need to bolster our ego. There's no need to acquire lots of stuff. That's not where we remain, just in that moment of being chosen. It's a call for a journey. And in that journey, I don't like it either, but it's the truth. John the Baptist is our role model. He keeps on going. He keeps on doing what he believes to be right, even though he knows it could well have massive consequences for him. He remembers and he knows that even before he was born, God had a plan and a purpose for him. And he speaks his truth. And he does it from a place of strength, whatever it appears like. Let us be silent, then we will pray. God, you chose us. Thank you. Amen. We join to sing. The voice of God goes out to all the world. So let us pray. So we pray for all who speak out fearlessly for truth and justice, knowing that they may pay a heavy price. Be with them, Lord. Be their inspiration and be their friend. We pray for those who recognize what is just and what is true, yet succumb to pressure. To do nothing. To keep their head down. And those who are pressurized by those who would see goodness destroyed. Be, Lord, an encourager and a beacon of truth. We pray for those who are overwhelmed by a thirst for vengeance. And for those who seek a violent solution. We pray for the families and friends who grieve when the courageous voice of truth is silenced. We pray for those that we love. For those whose work is overwhelming them. For those whose search for work, for meaningful work, is depressing them. We pray for ourselves. Sovereign God and Lord of all, your ways are righteous and true. Shape us as individuals, as a community, as people of this world. We await the fullness of your coming rule that has been laid out before us in Jesus. Strengthen us for your service, Lord, as we wait. And we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. So let's continue our worship. Let's continue making our offering as we collect in the gifts. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve money and serve you. We choose to serve you. Help us. Amen. Our final hymn, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore God. tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, children, come to the front, please. Well, first of all, we've been working on a little activity sheet with some puzzles and some artwork and a prayer that we've said together. So the children have been doing that. And the other thing is they've been making... Now, they're very small, these, but they've been making...
A chatterbox.
A chatterbox, it's called. And during tea and coffee, they're going to come round with their chatterbox and ask you to make some choices. And there'll hopefully be some encouraging messages.
Beautiful.
I didn't double check, but I think they're encouraging messages on the inside that will make you smile and feel good about God's love for you.
Beautiful.
Okay.
So let us go from this place to spread the news of God's love, even to those who cannot believe that God loves them. And let us go from this place and do it in the strength that is ours from God. And all God's people said, Amen.